Morning. It's good to see everyone this morning, and it's good to be able to come together to worship God this morning on this beautiful day. And as we've been mentioning in our announcements, we have our gospel meeting coming up next Sunday with Bob Waldron from Dade City, Florida. And we're looking forward to an opportunity, more than just on the first day of the week, to gather together to worship God. And in our scripture reading, we find that New Testament Christians did that very thing. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, day by day, they were in the temple. And so more than just on Sunday, they were there regularly. And so that gives us the New Testament example and the precedence for gathering together and the authority for gathering together more than just once to worship God. And that's what our gospel meeting is designed for. Also in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, and every day in the temple and at home, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus as the Christ. And so the example and the authority for daily meetings where there is the preaching of the gospel. And that's what we hope to accomplish in our gospel meeting. And as we get ready for this time frame coming up, we want to think about what the gospel meeting time is for. And we need to remember that the gospel meeting time is a time for saving souls. We need to remember that it's a gospel meeting. We need to remember that what we're offering next week is the very thing that saves souls. It will not be a party. It will not be a festival. It will not be a carnival. It will not be fun and games. It will be that which saves man's soul, that which keeps him out of hell, that which allows him to go to heaven. It's a very serious and sober opportunity to think about our soul's salvation. It is the gospel, Romans 1:16, that is the power of God unto salvation. And it is the preaching of the gospel, 1 Corinthians 1:21, that saves souls. And so we need to remember what it is. It is an opportunity to save souls. We need to invite someone. We need to bring someone. We need to save someone. We need to remember what the original purpose and goal of this meeting is. And when we do that, when we remember that, we will remember how important it is. Not just something that we go through, not just sort of a tradition that churches of Christ have, not just you're supposed to have a gospel meeting two or three times a year. We need to be careful not to allow it to become just sort of a tradition or a ritual or a routine. But remember, it is the very thing that saves souls. And the importance of that should fill our hearts. And we need to be here, of course, and we need to try to bring someone who needs to be saved with that saving gospel. Gospel meeting time is also a time for priorities. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it's an opportunity for us to put the kingdom first. In days gone by, brethren would have gospel meetings that would last 2 weeks or even more. And we need to be careful, brethren, that we don't allow the things of the world to push these types of things aside. We keep shrinking the gospel meeting. And part of it is simply because of the things of the world. We've got work going on, and we've got school going on, and we've got this activity going on, and that activity going on. A gospel meeting is an opportunity. It's a time for us to show our priorities. It's a time for us to show that we really are serious about putting God first. There are some brethren that have indicated to me that they will not have a gospel meeting on a Friday night in the fall because that's when you have football, and you just can't get the brethren to come. There have been brethren who have changed gospel meeting times to accommodate the things that are going on among the brethren. There are elders who have mentioned to me that they will not have a gospel meeting on a certain night of the week because a majority of the brethren are doing this or doing that. I've heard of a situation of a church in Alabama that would not have a gospel meeting on a certain night because of softball, and that town was very big, and that's the night that softball was being played, and a number of the members were involved in that with their kids, and they just wouldn't be there. So they just stay away from that day. We need to be careful, brethren, that we don't allow the things of this world just to crowd us and fill us so much that we don't have time to come and listen to the saving gospel. So what is gospel meeting time? It's a time to show our priorities. It's a time to show that we're going to put God first. There may be something we can't get out of, just absolutely cannot get out of. But often it is the case that we just simply don't choose to be here. So let's put this first. And if we have to rearrange our schedules and make ourselves be second and the Lord first, let us do that. I've known of brethren that have taken personal days from work to be at a gospel meeting. They've made that their family vacation. I held a gospel meeting one time, and there were some families there that mentioned, this is our family vacation this week. Would you take a week of your 2 weeks vacation to use as the gospel meeting? They wanted to be there all week long. So there are brethren that really take it seriously and make it a priority, and we need to do that as well, as much as we can. Gospel meeting time is a time to save souls. It's a time to show our priorities and put the Lord first. It's a time to come and worship God. In our society today, God is being shoved off to the side. God is being belittled. He's being ignored. He's being poked fun of. We have an opportunity to come and worship God. We need that for ourselves. We need that for our young people. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. It's an opportunity to show how serious we are about serving God. It's more important than the things of this life. And a lot of times young people get wrapped up in the things of this life and friends and parties and other kinds of things going on in school and homework and ball games and other kinds of things. God is more important than anything else in life. We just need to be plain about that. And a gospel meeting is a good opportunity to show that and to come and worship God with reverence and awe. We're losing that sense. God is being belittled. God is being lowered to our level. And the seriousness of God is not being taken like it once was. With reverence and awe. Awe, to be awestruck, means to be taken back and greatly moved by something. See, we're losing that in our society. That needs to be our approach every time we think about God. In chapter 13 and verse 15, through Him, that is through Jesus, then let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of lips which make confession to His name. We have an opportunity to come and praise God and sacrifice to God. Gospel meeting time is a time for worshiping the great God of the universe. It's also a time to exalt Christ. Again, like God, Christ is being brought down in our society today. Christ is being lowered to nothing more than just an average historical figure. He's being taught in books and in universities and other places as just simply a Judean man, just like any other man in the first century. We need to remember that when we preach the gospel, Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When we preach the gospel, we're exalting Christ. And Bob Waldron will be doing that. And any man that stands in this pulpit does that. And we need to honor and exalt the word of Christ. It's the saving gospel of Christ. And again, God and Christ today are being belittled. They are being brought down. And our young people need to be here to hear the importance of God and Christ and His Word. It's a time to exalt Christ and Him crucified. Gospel meeting time is a time for inviting. We have, like Cornelius, an opportunity to bring people, to invite people. We are sending out 10,000 flyers in the community. That's one way that we're trying to invite. And as Larry mentioned, we need to pray for that activity. We need to pray that that will bear some fruit. But we personally can take a flyer back there. We can say, look, why don't you come and let's sing and pray and study the Bible together for one evening. We all have friends that we can invite. And Cornelius saw the importance of that. In Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius was told that Peter was going to come and preach, we find in verse 30 that he called together the folks, his kinsmen and so forth, and Cornelius said in verse 31, "Thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call unto thee Simon, who is surnamed Peter. He lodgeth in the house of Simon a tanner by the seaside. Forthwith," immediately, he didn't drag his feet, "therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast done well that you are come. Now therefore we are all here present in the sight of God to hear all things that have been commanded of thee of the Lord." We're here present. And we back up to verse 24, "And Cornelius was waiting for them, having called together his kinsmen and his near friends." We studied this morning how that Andrew went out and invited his brother Peter to come hear Jesus. And Philip found Nathanael, and the Samaritan woman found those in her community. We need to invite. Let the ball be in their court. Do the inviting. Let them make the decision. If they turn you down, fine. That's their decision. But let's do the inviting. Let's give them an opportunity to come hear the saving gospel. And we're doing some things to, you know, let people know who we are. We're sending out a flyer. We've got a sign where we're posting messages. We're doing some things. But keep in mind that those are impersonal things. And impersonal things are great, but they should never take the place of a personal invitation. They should never take the place of a personal invitation. So, like Cornelius, let's gather our kinsmen and near friends. And if you look at verse 33 again, he saw the importance. We're here in the sight of God to hear all things commanded. And as a result of that, verse 48, they were able to be baptized and they were able to be saved. And so, souls that need saving are souls that need inviting. It's time to invite. And gospel meeting time is also a time for work. And the preacher does his work. He gets his lessons ready. He gets his material ready. He makes the trip. He makes the travel. He makes the sacrifice to be away from his family. He puts the work in. Now it's time for us to put our work in. In 1 Corinthians 15, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." This is a great work that can be done. And there's work in inviting, and there's work in getting our schedule where we can be here at each service. And there is work, especially with school still going on, that, you know, you've got to get the kids ready. And a lot of times folks will have to be at work right up until right before services. And they may have to miss a meal or eat later or make some adjustments. And there's a lot of work in that. But there's a reward in that in the end. And so it's a time to work. And we want the preacher to work. We want him to put his best foot forward and put work into those lessons. And they do. But we need to do our work as well. There's work in inviting. There's work in passing out flyers. There's work in mailing out a flyer or talking with someone or taking it to someone. And that work will be rewarded. Paul says, "For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The Lord takes notice of that work leading up to and during a gospel meeting. And even after, there's work. If we pray and we believe in the power of prayer and we have those that visit, we've got our work cut out for us, don't we? Do we need to check on those visitors? Do we need to call them? Sure. Do we need to visit them? Do we need to set up a home Bible study? Sure. We've got our work cut out for us. And we hope that folks will come and visit. And it's not just a matter of come and visit and then we don't see you again, but we've got work in the follow-up. So let us understand the importance of that and let us roll our sleeves up and be busy in that work. Gospel meeting time is also a time for revival and for energy and revitalization. It's a time where we can come together and be built up and be motivated. I think about when Barnabas was sent. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11. Here's a church that has formed, and here comes a gospel preacher from Jerusalem, and he is an outsider, as it were, just like Bob Waldron is to us. And they come in, and what do? They come in and re-energize us and revive us and build us up. In Acts chapter 11, when Barnabas came to Antioch, verse 23, the church at Jerusalem sent him there, and he was willing to leave and make the sacrifice and the travel to do that, just as Brother Waldron is in coming from Florida. Verse 23, when he was come and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. He built them up. He exhorted them. It's a time for re-energizing. It's a time for revival. It's a time for building up. And he stayed there. He and Paul stayed there a year, verse 26. And they taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians at Antioch. Barnabas means son of exhortation. He was an exhorter. He built up. And it's a time to build up and encourage and edify through the preaching, but also through our own presence. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, 25. Of course, this is true of any assembly, even today, but it's especially true of a gospel meeting as well, that when we gather together, when we're in this building, and we're singing together and praying together and studying God's Word together, and afterwards talking about spiritual things, what are we doing? Hebrews 10, 25, consider one another to stir up, my version says provoke, but we often think of that in a negative light, like you provoke someone in the sense of you taunt them or you argue with them. But just the old word to stir up unto love and good works, not, or we might say by not, forsaking our own assembling together, as is the custom of some, but exhorting one another, as so much more as you see the day drawing near. What do we do when we come together? We exhort by not forsaking the assembly. By not forsaking the assembly, we exhort each other. When we're not here, it's discouraging. When we are here, it is encouraging. And so it's a time to build up and exhort. And so the preacher comes and he exhorts us. And our own presence, our own assembling together is stirring up to love and good works. We're talking about spiritual things while we're here. And yes, we'll visit and we'll say something about the weather, and we might say something about what's going on during the week, but we also talk about spiritual things and how this church can grow. And so that's the whole point. We're stirring up unto love and good works. So let us be present. Let us not forsake that gospel meeting assembling. Let us be present, and let us encourage and build one another up. It's a time for building up. It's a time for encouragement, as we've been saying. And our absence would be the opposite. Our absence would be that of discouragement. Remember the story in Judges. Turn back with me to Judges chapter 5, when Deborah and Barak were going out to battle Sisera and his army. We find that not everybody showed up. Not all the Israelites showed up. And this is a time for war. This is a time to come together in battle, like Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There's a time for war, and there's a time for peace. And this was a time for war, and we need everybody out on the battlefield. But when folks don't show up, it becomes discouraging. And so when we're here and we're supporting, and we'll talk about supporting even later in other ways, the gospel meeting, it's a time for encouragement. Turn with me to Judges chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. They did show up. They did come. They were an encouragement. As was Issachar, so was Barak. Into the valley they rushed forth at his feet. By the water courses of Reuben there was a great resolve of heart. Why sattest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the pipings of the flock? Some Israelites sat. They didn't come to war. They just sat in their comfortable abode. And a lot of times you'll have that. We could come and be present, but we choose not to. There was great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond the Jordan. See, they didn't come. And Dan, why did he remain in ships? He didn't come. He didn't come to the battle. That's discouraging. And abode by his creeks. Zebulun was a people that jeoparded their lives unto death. They did show up. They did fight. And some of them were killed for that. And Naphtali upon the high places of the field. And so forth. And we find in verse 23, curse Miraz, said the angel of Jehovah. Curse bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of Jehovah. Some people just won't come. And it's discouraging. We discourage ourselves. We discourage those around us. And so it's a time for encouragement. It's a time to be here and build up one another. And we are fighting the devil. We are in a battle for our souls and the souls of our children. And here's where we can be encouraged to fight that very battle. Gospel meeting time is also a time for support. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. One of the greatest supports of the gospel is to be here and be present to hear it. Of course, we support gospel preaching financially. But one of the greatest supports that we can give is to be here, listening, attentive, with open minds and open Bibles and open to the truth that is being preached. One of the greatest encouragements to a gospel preacher is to have someone say, I listened to that lesson and I appreciate that. We need that. We need that kind of gospel preaching. That type of support is very important for a man, and it encourages him and it keeps him going. We're in a generation, like we're going to read about here, that many people just don't want the truth anymore. And so we find in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word. That takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of support. So Paul is telling young Timothy, preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. That's the preacher's part, but what about the audience? Look at verse 3. Here's the audience's part. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. Some people don't want the truth anymore. They don't want plain, sound gospel preaching. They turn their ears away and they ask for other kinds of things. Tickle my ears with other things that are going to make me happy. So as an audience, we can support gospel preaching by being here to hear it attentively, and tell Brother Waldron that we need that in our lives. We appreciate that. Keep doing that. Look at verse 5. It's difficult. Paul says to Timothy, suffer hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. It is challenging, it is difficult, and the greatest support that we can give someone preaching is to be present, asking for truth. Not itching ears, wanting something else, but we just simply want the truth. We appreciate the truth. We want more of the truth. Keep doing that. It's a time to support the gospel with our presence. It's a time to let our light shine. Often in a gospel meeting, and this is very common here in other places, we will have visitors. We will have people from the community. Some of them will not be members of the church. It's an opportunity to let our light shine. It's an opportunity to let them know what New Testament Christians are all about. They see us being kind and courteous. They see us being friendly. They see us encouraging them. They see us trying to apply the gospel in our lives. They see young people that are trying to serve the Lord. It's an opportunity to let our light shine among men so that they can see our good works. We need to be thinking about those who come into our assembly, and especially with the large mass mail-out, we hope that folks will come, and some of them are coming for the first time. We had a visitor last Sunday. Did you know that? He was just passing by. People pass by. They stop in. And we hope that he'll come back. We have an opportunity to talk with them and greet our visitors and talk with our visitors. Let our light shine. Let them know who we are. Let them know what we're all about. It's a time to talk with those who are in the community and be an example to them. And they will be among us and we can influence them. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14. Paul talks about this very thing. In 1 Corinthians 14, he talks about how that visitors will come to Corinth and there may be some unbelievers in their midst from time to time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And in the church there, they are to be unified. They are to be working together so that the unbelievers among them can understand the message, hear the message, be encouraged by the message. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23, if therefore the whole church be assembled together and all speak with tongues, and there come in men unlearned or unbelieving, will they not say that you are mad? And so in a context of the church speaking in tongues, there were supposed to be one or two at a time. There was supposed to be an interpreter. There was supposed to be organization there. My point that I want to use with this passage is be mindful of the visitors. Be mindful of those in our midst, and provide an opportunity for them to be encouraged and built up and edified. We don't have tongue speaking today, but we certainly have visitors and those who are coming in. And we need to encourage them and support them and be an influence on them. Gospel meeting time is also a time for study. Don't we need that today? Here is an opportunity to have extra time to study God's Word. You think about how much time we spend with technology versus reading our Bible. You think about how much time we spend the internet versus reading our Bible. TV, movies versus reading our Bible. We spend a lot of time doing those other things, and there's nothing wrong with those things per se. But here's an opportunity for extra study where we grow and learn and dig deeper and save our souls. Why would we want to pass on that? Why would we want to pass on that? In Acts 17 and 11, when Paul came to Thessalonica and then later to Berea, they examined the Scriptures daily. Daily. This wasn't a one-time meeting. Apparently, he was there, and on a daily basis, he preached, just like a gospel meeting. Sunday through Friday, daily, they were examining the Scriptures. Look at the very next verse. The very next verse says, many therefore believed. You see the result? You see the fruit? You see the positive result that comes from study? Judges 2:10, we have a generation that knows not God. Just like in the days of Joshua. And our young people need to be here. Our young people need to be here with their Bibles open. They know all kinds of things about this world, and that's fine. All kinds of music stars and movie stars and sports and that type of thing. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But do they know God? Do they know God's Word? Do they know the Word of God? It's an opportunity to have extra time to study and the great benefit and the great result of that. We could have a gospel meeting. I would dare say we could have a gospel meeting every day of the year, 365 days. And we would still not match the amount of time that we spend with TV, movies, music, other kinds of things. Why not a few times a year have a gospel meeting and really put forth the effort to be at every opportunity to study God's Word? What a great time for that, that is much needed. In a world where many just simply do not know the Word of God, and if we're not careful, that can be among us. Do you remember Hosea 4, verse 6? God said, my people, he wasn't talking about the world, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So if we're not careful, we will one day just get to the point where our children, our grandchildren, whatever, on down the line, they just don't know God's Word. And it starts with us not being here, not being present for that study time. I appreciate our Bible class teachers and the effort that they put in to teach. That's a great opportunity for study. And a gospel meeting time is a time for extra study. We need all the study we can get. It's also a time for personal growth. Turn with me to Acts 20. We all need to grow. We all have things that we can improve on. We all have things that we can change. We all have areas of our life where we can grow personally. And a gospel meeting is a time for me to come, for you to come and sit and hear Brother Waldron say some things that are going to make me grow. He will, sometime that week, touch on something where you can take advantage of that, I can take advantage of that. Why is that? Because he's using the Word of God. And in Acts 20 and verse 32, Paul talking to the brethren there at Ephesus, who had come from the church at Ephesus, the elders in particular, Paul says in verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified, is able to build you up. It's an opportunity for personal growth. I enjoy attending a gospel meeting because I always learn something. I always get something out of the message. You will grow next week. I will grow. But we've got to be here to do that. It's a time for personal growth. It's also a time for restoration. There may be a member of the church that needs to be restored. There may be a member of the church that needs to come back and be more faithful. And James says that when we convert our brother from the error of his way, we save a soul from death. And so it's an opportunity for a member of the church to come forward and let the brethren know that they want to do better, that they want to change their life. And we may know of someone that needs to do that, and we can try to encourage them to be here and do that very thing. It's also a time for obedience. You may need to respond to the gospel. I was encouraged about a month ago in the gospel meeting down in Lakeland, Florida, Thursday night. 17-year-old boy came forward and was baptized into Christ. And of course, we can obey the gospel at any time, but if you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins and be baptized right, Bible baptism, then this is a great time for you to do it. I'm wondering if we're getting away from that. Years ago, during gospel meetings, folks would come forward and obey the gospel. It's a time to obey, and you just need to do that. You need to come forward. You need to confess your faith in Christ. You need to make a commitment to serve the Lord. You're going to put the Lord first. Going to be regular. Going to be serious. Going to be right. And this is the time that we're going to do that. We can do that today. I certainly wouldn't want to discourage someone, but we need to keep in mind that a gospel meeting is a time to obey the gospel. And the reason I use Mark 16 is this is the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. This is a gospel meeting. This is an effort to continue what we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission did not stop at the end of the New Testament. The Great Commission continues some 2,000 years later. We're still supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It was to begin with the 12 apostles. It's to continue on among us today. And so our gospel meeting is the very thing to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Why are we inviting some 10,000 of the community? We're trying to reach the world with the gospel. We can't do everybody of all time, but we can do what we can where we're at here in Springfield. And when that gospel is preached, listen, just obey it. Just obey it. Brandon and I were talking recently about this very matter. And we were raising the question, why is it that folks will not obey the gospel? And Brandon was talking about, you know, it's just so simple. It's just so easy. And it is. My only thought about the matter is, the reason we just don't see it today like we saw, why 3,000 on the day of Pentecost? Was it easier to obey on Pentecost than it is today? Why 3,000? Why do we see that today? I think what has happened is today, because of everything going on out in the world and other things that distract us, we get sidetracked, we get distracted, we lose our sense of urgency. It's just not a focal urgency. There's other things that are taking up our thoughts and actions and priorities. We've got to get back to seeing the urgency that when the gospel is preached, just obey it. And that's a good time during a gospel meeting. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Turn with me to Acts 2, and then the lesson is yours. What we might call the first gospel meeting. Remember that when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the scripture that David read said that day by day they stayed in the temple preaching and teaching. I would call this the first gospel meeting, where it lasted more than one day. Yes, they were there on Sunday. Pentecost was on a Sunday, but then they were there day by day after that. I don't know how long. But we find in what I'm going to call the first gospel meeting, in Acts chapter 2, in verse 40, with many other words he testified and exhorted, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. It's just that simple. You preach, you exhort, you obey the gospel. And I'd like to see us get back to that. A gospel meeting time is a time for obedience. It's a time to step forward and be baptized into Christ. There are, I'm sure, several of us here, myself included, that obeyed the gospel during a gospel meeting. And I would encourage you to do that. I, like Peter, would simply say, save yourselves. Save yourselves. It's a time to do that. Well, the lesson is yours. We have a gospel meeting coming up. I'm confident that Brother Waldron will be doing his effort and his work and doing his part. Let us do our part. It's a time for saving souls, and that's what we're going to be about. We can put the Lord first. We can come together and worship God and exalt Christ. It's a time to invite our friends. Let's be busy doing that. Take a flyer on your way out. Grab some. If we run out, we'll print some more. Invite family and friends and co-workers and neighbors. It's a time to get to work. And when we get here, we'll be revived and encouraged. It'll give us a time to support the gospel. And we certainly want to support Brother Waldron financially for his efforts. The laborer is worthy of his hire. But even more so, let's support him with our presence and our encouragement and our open Bibles and our open minds. Let's let our light shine and be influential to any visitors who may come and talk with them about coming back and what we can do to help them. Let's study and grow. We we have an opportunity to grow and learn more in a world that is crowding out the Word of God. And we have an opportunity as an erring child to be restored, or if we just simply need to step forward and obey for the first time. Gospel meeting time is a great time for some things that are important in our life. And I hope that we'll take advantage of that beginning next week. This morning, if you've heard something that has encouraged you to respond to the gospel, we would encourage you to do that. And we're going to stand and sing a song of invitation. We want to encourage you to come forward and be right with God. Those of us who are members of the church here, we've got 1 week. Let's be busy getting ready, and hopefully we'll make our gospel meeting time that which is beneficial to all of us, and even more importantly, honoring to the Lord. If you're subject in any way, we can help you. Why won't you come as we stand and sing this morning?